citizens of the spiritual realm. The Bible invites us to center ourselves on Christ in heaven, from that spiritual home, to do all we can to transform ourselves and the world around us. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Polytuma is the word translated here in the King James Version as conversation, and in some of the other translations often translated citizenship. Strong's definition of this word, it's the same kind of word as you can hear that comes our word on politic or polity or political. Strong's definition of that word is the administration of civil affairs of a commonwealth, the constitution of a commonwealth, a form of government and the laws by which it is administered, a state, a commonwealth, the commonwealth of citizens. And so Paul is lifting up to the Philippians and to them, through them, to us, that our citizenship, as it's stated in the Revised Standard Version, our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then that puts a little bit of perspective on everything going on around us in the world today, that we're here and we're more or less, we have maybe a dual citizenship because we have a citizenship in heaven. And from that perspective, salvation comes. And it's from that side of it that we bring to bear whatever that we're able to do to make the world a better place and to address the issues around us every day. Two or more citizens of heaven gathered in the name of Jesus and engaged in a divine conversation constitute a form of body politic with the power to make decisions and carry them out, to manifest some facet of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In another context, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And so, like other political entities, the spiritual community has a role and a voice, a prophetic voice, in the decision-making processes to manifest the external, unconditional love of God. That's us. We have that voice. We have that role. Our Heavenly Parent is always ready to receive us. In the gospel lesson today, every time that passage comes up, the thing that stands out to me is God wanting to kind of just put his arms around us, and like a hen puts her wings around their chicks. How many times in the Good News translation it says, "How many times I wanted to put my arms around all your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me." These words are spoken to Jerusalem, but through Jerusalem, as a word to all of humanity, from our Heavenly Parent to through our spiritual brother, Jesus. They offer us shelter, sanctuary, and home. Aren't these pretty important things for us, that and for the whole world? And so the ecclesia, the gathered community, the church, is, for example, our church home and a church family. Very important to us in ways that strengthen and encourage us throughout our journey here below. And in a broader sense, we're part of the faith community, the faith family, of people who have faith, and in the very broadest sense is the spiritual home, our spiritual family. And that's what Paul is addressing here, that our citizenship is in heaven, in the spiritual realm, transcending all earthly and geopolitical boundaries, eclipsing our physical environment, and gathering our thoughts, our feelings, our relationships, and our powers and abilities, and uniting us through the divine nature in which we were created. God dispels our fears and strengthens us to face even the most challenging circumstances. The psalmist began today's reading from the Psalms, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" St. John reminds us in his letter that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Marianne Williamson wrote in her book, A Return to Love, "As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." The psalmist concludes this passage, "Wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, and he shall strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Can we trust God to bring us through the chaotic and horrifying issues confronting us in the news and challenging us in our own lives? Wait. The prophet Isaiah said, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Be of good courage, the psalmist says. This phrase appears 17 times throughout the Old Testament in the King James Version, and the idea itself occurs many more times throughout all of the Bible. For example, in Joshua 1:9, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let God strengthen our heart, whatever the circumstances may be that are challenging our heart. In one of our most beloved passages in the Bible, John 14, when Jesus was on his way to give himself up for us, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God, believe also in me. These words spoken on his way to the cross, "Let not your heart be troubled." We walk by faith and not by sight. That's how Paul put it to the Corinthians in the second letter to that church in the King James Version. And in today's Old Testament reading, it said that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And that concept is stated several ways throughout the New Testament. It's foundational to the whole idea of salvation by grace through faith. We have been studying this concept in our Wednesday Bible study group. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, as he wrote it in his letter to the Romans. And it brings up another good question, a question that was raised by Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus when he said to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Do you believe this? We have so many questions, and I guess that's pretty central to them all, isn't it? Do we believe God? Can we believe and trust God in the most difficult times? The summary of the Christian faith is in John 3:16, and really I think John 3:17 with it. So let's share that with one another today and practice up so we can maybe share it with others throughout this week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Today the world stands in desperate need of what we have: spiritual gifts ministered in good faith and perfect love in the all-powerful authority of the name of Jesus. We have our gifts. We have our place in the work of transforming the world. And it's right where we are, and right in the relationships that we have around us, and in the work that it laid before us. Throughout this Lenten season, may we work on addressing the challenges and issues in our own lives and around the world from the perspective of our divine citizenship and spiritual empowerment as the daughters and sons of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.